Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus. This is Tony Broom Ministries. What is the one thing that will reach our generation? What is the one thing that will shake us up, awaken us back to our senses, that will cause this world once again to be touched with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Here is a message from Acts chapter 2, verses 16 through 21, entitled, This Is That.
Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 16. After the day of Pentecost, for a while things seemed to have gone well, or I'll be lenient with time and say maybe 300 years. During that time, the early church fathers, they started writing writings, and you can find many of them now. And to begin with, they would say, listen to the word of God. Listen to the word of our Lord and the apostles. And then that turned into, listen to what your deacons tell you. Do what they tell you to do. Well, that sounds good, but the problem is liberalism started leaking in.
Yes.
Didn't take very long before the Dark Ages set in. In the Dark Ages, medieval times, the Dark Ages, they call it the Dark Ages because it was very dark during those ages. And the light that burned so brightly, the light of the gospel, we'll just cut to the chase and say the power of the Holy Ghost that seemed to be so strong and so imminent and burning so brightly started to dwindle. Started to wane, and the bright light of the sun, the power of God, began to tone down into a little lamp. And the lamp went down into a candle. Candle still had flame, but the flame began to flicker. Almost went out. Thank God it didn't.
Amen.
How many times have we as a people gotten God to just that edge, but he never allows it to go out. Kingdom of Israel had gotten so bad that he said, I'm going to destroy every one of you, but I can't do it. I've got to allow a light in Jerusalem. I've got to allow at least one lamp to be burning for my servant David. And he said in the prophets, he's always got a light. It's always got a witness. It's always something there. There had to be something. Ezekiel saw the vision. Down on his face he went. Saw the vision of the living creatures and the wheel by the river Kibar. All through his ministry, no matter what happened to him, no matter how bad things got, he always had to have something to go back to.
Yeah.
Song said, if you want another drink of water, boys, got to dig a little deeper in the well.
Yeah.
You always got to have something to go back to. There had to be something to break the monotony. There had to be something that would give life to this otherwise dead, dormant, dank and dark religion that enveloped the world during the time of the Dark Ages. People who may have had the light, they didn't want anybody else to have the light because it would take the control away from them. They didn't want the people to get a hold to the real thing. They didn't want them to get a hold to the scripture, so they would interpret the scripture what they wanted them to know, what they wanted them to go by. They didn't want the people to get a hold to it themselves. God wanted the opposite. He didn't want it to come through just a liturgical thing. He didn't want it to come through just a priestly order that was man-made. He wanted all men and women and boys and girls to know what he was talking about. In Acts chapter 2, verse 16, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. We could just have lunch right there on that one verse. This is that. There had to be something that would break us out of the super that we had gotten into.
Yeah.
And a little later on, you can read your history, John Wesley, some of the leaders begin to pray, Booth, William Booth, and leader of the Salvation Army group, a lot of Charleses, Charles Wesley, Charles Parham, Charles Price, a lot of Charleses in there that God used, different ones, John G. Lake, Wigglesworth, Amy Semple McPherson, and on you could name. In the 1900s, they began to pray, William Seymour, and began to pray and ask God, there's something got to happen, there's something, surely something that will break us out of this which we've gotten into. They began to pray, Body Street, they began to pray, Azusa Street, revival began to break out. Power of God touched this world like never before since the day of Pentecost, the early 1900s. What a time they had. It wasn't just for the preacher. It wasn't just for the bishops. There were 12-year-old kids who would lay their hands on other 12-year-old kids and say, I want you to be healed, and they were healed. Now God is no different now than He was then. He was no different then than He was on the day of Pentecost. When Stephen and Peter and all these people performed mighty miracles of God, God is the same God now as He was then. There had to be something. And He said, this is that. That's our subject. This is that. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. This is that which would break us out of the man-made deadhead religion. This is that. Around that time, a little shortly after that time, there was something that hit this globe that is somewhat like what we've been going through lately. It wasn't known as Corona, it wasn't known as the China virus, but it was known, as some people are a little uncomfortable with the name, but it was known by many as the Spanish flu. And some people call it the flu of 1918. Whatever you want to call it. It was a time when the churches shut down. It was a time when things shut down. Businesses couldn't operate. Many people died because of this pandemic, epidemic that was going through the world, parts of the world at that time. So something had to break loose, just like what is breaking loose, I believe, even now. Something had to break loose then. And it was the same thing that happened on the day of Pentecost.
Yeah.
When the day of Pentecost came, the world was in uncertainty. Jesus, the Son of God, was the Messiah, but the world was under Roman oppression. There had to be something to break out, something to make a difference. And that something, we know the someone, Jesus, but the something is the power of Pentecost, the power of the Holy Ghost. This is that which we need in our day.
Yes.
To break us loose.
Yes.
From the things that have bound us.
Yes.
Break us loose from man-made religion.
Yes.
Break us loose from the sourness that we have gotten into. Seems like everybody around you is in a bad mood.
Yes. That's
the truth. We're alive and breathing. If you've caught the virus or it has caught you and you're on the other side of it, you've got a lot to be thankful for. And if you haven't gotten it or it hadn't gotten you, or you haven't caught it or it hadn't caught you, you have even more so much to be thankful for. We all have so much to be thankful for, and there's no need to go around in a bad mood all the time. How can a born-again person that's a breathing human mammal be in a bad mood? If your coffee's bad, throw it away and make you another cup. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days. The last days started on the day of Pentecost, the last days then. I know it's the last days now.
Yeah.
The last day says, God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. God begins to pour out his spirit on the day of Pentecost, and his spirit continues to be poured out on all flesh. He didn't say just Jewish flesh. He didn't say just white flesh. He said, on all flesh. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And he said, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. There is a pouring out. This is that which we need, the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. My question to you today is, has God stopped pouring out his spirit? Just because Pentecost has passed, has God stopped pouring out his spirit? God surely has not stopped pouring out his spirit. If he had stopped pouring out his spirit, there would have been no Azusa Street. There would have been no cure during the flu epidemic. There would have been no healing ministry in the 40s and 50s. There would have been no charismatic movement in the 70s. There would have been no Brownsville revival in the 90s. There would have been no help and protection as we got back to year 2000 and got past it. Some people thought the world would fall apart. Helter skelter, the sky is falling. They thought the world was going to fall apart, but it didn't. We made it through it, and it's because of the same power of the Holy Ghost is available now that was then. Amen. You cannot obtain it by New Age fangle jangle motives and movements. You got to have the same thing to get it now as you had the same thing to get it then. That is, you have to have faith in God. Appropriate faith in Christ, you're born again, sanctified, he breaks the power of sin in your life, you're a candidate for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He said, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Well, I just don't know what my children's going to do. Just don't know what my grandchildren are going to do. You just avail them to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they will prophesy. It was not just for the Jewish leaders that were there at that time. He said, your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Yes. Prophesy means not foretelling. He was not talking so much about foretelling, telling the future. He was talking about forthtelling. Telling forth, proclaiming the gospel of Christ. They will proclaim the gospel of Christ. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. In other words, everybody is doing something. Instead of standing around wondering what somebody else is going to do, everybody was doing something, because the same power of the Holy Ghost had gotten a hold of you as had gotten a hold of me. The same thing happened to all of us, and we were born again. Same thing that happened to all of us, that we had experienced the sanctifying power of God. And now with the fullness of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, something happens to everybody, and that is, everybody is doing something. It may not be but just sitting around with a whittling rock, whittling on a knife blade to sharpen it. You may not know how to use it. Somebody else can use the knife. Maybe you can just keep the blade sharp. Somebody is doing something. The sons, the daughters were prophesying. The young men were seeing visions. The old men were dreaming dreams. Everybody was doing something. This is that. What will cause people to do something for God again? The same thing that did it in the beginning. Yes. The power of the Holy Ghost. Yes. When this gets a hold of you, what I'm talking about, you'll do anything. Yes. Oh, glory, hallelujah. Amen. You'll sweep the parking lot. That's what it takes. Yes. You'll pick up cigarette butts. Yes. That's what it takes. Yes. Pray for those who are smoking them that they won't smoke them no more. Whatever it takes. That's not my job. That's what people say. That's not my job. Nobody has a job. We all have a vocation. It's called salvation. Yes. Ephesians chapter 4 said, work out your salvation. It said, work in your vocation. Yes. That God has called us to. On my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. All are equal. It doesn't matter whether you're a servant, whether you're a handmaid, whether you're a king, whether you're a pauper, whether you're a preacher, whether you're a bishop, whether you consider yourself a nobody. Everybody's somebody in Jesus' camp. We're all equal in the sight of God. There's no big eyes and little U's. Red and yellow, black and white, we're all precious in His sight. On the servants, on the handmaids, in those days I'll pour out of my spirit. We don't want to be a servant. We think that's too low class. We don't want to be a handmaid. Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." She didn't consider herself too good to be a handmaid of the Lord. And that's why God brought a Savior into the world. We've done got so high class now, we won't take nobody to church in our vehicle. It's too high class. We don't want nobody to mess up our vehicle. When we had that old Ford and Chevy and that old Doodlebug, we'd carry anybody to church. We don't want nobody coming in our Rolls Royce and Lexus. I'm preaching better than all you're letting on, but that's all right. We all are equal in the sight of God. On the servants, on the handmaids, I will pour out my spirit and they shall prophesy. And then that word prophesy has a colon after it. And I'm not talking about the colon you go to the doctor and he looks at your colon. After that colon, it goes into the next verse. But here, right here between these two verses, the church age ends in the rapture and the tribulation begins. Right there in that little space in your Bible is a big chasm that we're living in right now. We don't know how long it's going to go. But it started on the day of Pentecost, and it ends when Jesus comes to get the church and the rapture of the church, and the tribulation begins. Yeah. And when that happens, He said, "I will show wonders in heaven above and in the signs in the earth beneath." When the tribulation takes place and all hell breaks loose on this world, it will affect the heavens above, it will affect the earth beneath. Yeah. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath. Blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord coming. There's a judgment day coming on this world when God will pour out His wrath upon all flesh. He said, "I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh now, but then I'll pour my wrath out upon all flesh, those who do not know God." Yes. It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Salvation is our hope. Salvation is God's plan for our eternal redemption and deliverance from judgment. The only way that you and I can be saved and delivered from judgment is because of salvation. Salvation is our only hope. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is our only hope. The power of God is our only hope. We have a hope in Jesus Christ. He is our hope. Without Him, we're nothing. But this is that which will break us out of the stupor that we've gotten ourselves into. Perhaps it's our fault. Perhaps it's not our fault. We can't blame anyone else for the things that we have done. Certainly not God's fault. We cannot blame Him. But this is that, not only which was spoken by the prophet Joel, but this is that which will give you the answer that we need. This is that which will cause the church to wake up, cause the church to rise up, cause us to stand upon our high places, cause us to be something, a voice and a witness for God in our world again. This is that, not a New Age thing, but the same thing that we might say the old time religion. Yeah. The old time religion is not fanning yourself with a paper fan and reaching up into the top of the house and pulling a string and making the light bulb come on. That's not the old time religion. The old time religion can work even in iPhone Pros and SEs and all these new age technological things. That doesn't stop the old time religion. God can work. He can use these tools to work for the glory of God. We're seeing it work right now. There's live streaming. The gospel is going out. That would not be possible years ago. It would not have been possible in the 1918 flu. It would not have been possible in the 40 and 50 healing ministry. But it's possible now. These things are not wrong. It's wrong when we worship the screen instead of the God who gave us a sense to put all these things together. Thou shalt have no other God before me, but this is that which we need. This is that which the young people need. This is that which the older people need. This is that which the middle-aged folks need. This is that which sinners need, because that will result in their salvation.
You have been listening to a message from Acts chapter 2, verses 16 through 21, entitled, This is That. Make sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior, Lord, and Redeemer now, while you still have time. This has been a production of Tony Brew Ministries.